In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. I would like to focus on Peter's response to the miracle today. Because there, in Peter's response and in this interaction with the Lord, we see a little icon of all of our life in Christ, our life as Christians. Our Lord has been preaching and teaching, and then he turns to Simon Peter, and though he's been fishing all night, he tells him to go back out again and to fish. And Peter responds in not quite a fully humble way, but he obeys. And that's the important part. He obeys and goes and takes his boat out and casts his net out into the deeper parts. And the fish are like almost just jumping into the net. And Peter's response upon this is one of even greater humility. One where, very curiously, he recognizes his own sins. He recognizes that he is not worthy to be in the presence of this one. He is not worthy to be in the presence of Jesus, and so he asks for that not to be the case. But God does not leave him alone. Jesus, the God-man, does not leave him alone. That great humility that was prompted within Peter by the miracle is a powerful icon. That is the icon of our life in Christ. We obey, perhaps not understanding fully, maybe even thinking, how could this possibly work? And yet when God works, humility is born within us. A light shines in the soul, revealing our need for Christ. And maybe that's uncomfortable. As Peter tells us and reveals to us, he was uncomfortable. But Christ wants us to join him. He wants to bring us along, not to stand over, not to force us, but to gain us through long suffering. So he gives us many opportunities. Our Lord prepares us, he commands us, and he provides for us. And we respond and we work with him. This is what happened with Peter, James, and John. They were obedient, they responded, and they went deeper with God. They went deeper with Jesus in their humility. Humility came first. Then the great call and the reinterpretation of their whole life that Christ ends this gospel account with. You will not just catch fish, but now, from now on, you will be catchers of men. And so they get up and they follow him. Peter saw himself in that boat, kneeling before Christ as the unworthy servant. This miracle is the model, or his response to the miracle is the model for our whole attitude. To be the unworthy servant, yet one that is a servant that is called by God. We walk down that middle path of knowing our unworthiness, but resting in the call of God. God will grab our attention. Maybe it won't be out on a lake. Could be. Perhaps in other times it is for people. But some way, some means in your normal life, your day to day, God will grab your attention. And when he does, and you feel this stirring, like Peter felt in that boat, that I am not worthy. My sins are separating me. I can't stand in this presence. That's a sign that this is truly an act of God. Because this is what Peter felt on witnessing this miracle. It's then, when we realize our own inability to overcome our weaknesses, to overcome our sins, when we realize our own unworthiness, and yet we kneel before God, that's where a real life begins. That's where the life with God starts. There's the call, and there's the response. The call of preparation and the call toward discipleship. St. John Chrysostom, in his homily on this passage, remarks how this is the second call of Christ to Simon Peter. The first is given in John's Gospel, and here we mark how Simon Peter obeyed, not yet seeing the miracle, but he knew Christ in some measure as a teacher. And so he obeys. He goes out even though it doesn't make sense to himself. And that first call prepared him for this second call that would reinterpret all of Peter's life and James and John's and all of the later disciples and apostles. St. John Chrysostom says that that preparation makes alive both faith and obedience. For though they were in the midst of their work, Peter, James, and John, they forsook all and followed. Such is the obedience which Christ seeks of us. It was that willingness to obey and then the response and humility that allowed Peter, James, and John, and then later all of the other disciples and apostles to journey with the Master and to participate in his ministry. Because that's what it comes down to. We obey and are humble so that we can participate in God's ministry, not our own. All of the blessings of the church flow from that obedience and the response and humility to God. The obedience of Simon Peter, we see. And perhaps Simon Peter even knew from the abundance of his experience that this miracle, this way, could never happen. And so that's what gets his attention. And in humility, he receives it and accepts it. And he is changed. And so the apostles go on. And there is a connection here with the epistle that I would like to bring out to this gospel passage. Not a direct one, but one that we can bring alongside to the gospel and understand. To another apostle, one that didn't walk with Christ during his earthly ministry, that of St. Paul, writing to the Corinthians. And he tells us, in his own great humility, the great things that God does, no matter what the circumstance that we find ourselves in. The epistle admonishes us to praise God in all circumstances, because God uses all circumstances to turn them into the means of our salvation, to bring out that obedience and that humility that we've been talking about in the gospel. Those circumstances shape us, or God, rather, better said, God uses those circumstances to shape us into ones that will be ready for the life with the Lord. That's what the apostles walked with in his ministry and never departed from. And Paul, by God's mercy, got to enter into later in his life, and what we have the opportunity to. So let us, like St. Paul, take his words, because this was his lived experience. God uses, what does St. Paul say? Afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, tumults, labors, watching, and hunger. He says, no matter those things happening, we give praise to God. Only the humble one, or better, the one who accepts humility can act as Peter did in that boat when he witnessed the great haul of fish. Only with humility can we then, St. Paul says, practice the weapons of righteousness. And what are those weapons that he lists? They're purity, knowledge, forbearance, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God. It's in those very circumstances, the ones that seem the darkest or the hardest, where we begin to use the weapons of righteousness, that we begin to follow God. This is what Jesus, the Savior, the God-man, tells Peter. When he tells him, "You will be catchers of men," what does Peter catch them to? Where does he bring them in? He brings them into the boat, brings them into the ark of salvation, like that haul of fish that Peter, James, and John brought in. And when they lived their life and they went around in their ministry, they experienced all these things that St. Paul experienced, those afflictions, those hardships. St. Paul doesn't end there with just these weapons of righteousness, of what we do in those circumstances when we wield those weapons. But we use them so that we don't fall to temptations to the right or to the left. So what does he mean by that? He passes over that, but it's really important for us to pause and unpack that. The temptations from the right are those temptations where order and might are held above long-suffering and perseverance. They're subtle temptations, usually, where they pretend to be doing something good, but really they're hiding judgment, they're hiding pride, they're justifying harm, perhaps, for a greater good. These are the temptations on the right side. While temptations from the left are those blatant desires for bodily pleasures. Or they could also be sorrow, replacing hope, which leads one astray from striving for truth and union with God, by following his commandments, following his word, and his will. That's what Peter did in the boat. He followed God's word and command and was changed. He didn't lean on his own understanding, but was changed through obedience and became humble and was called to something great. Our own political and social moment in some measure is struggling with the temptations on the right and the temptations on the left. You could probably say that about any time, but it feels starker now. We Christians must walk a royal path, which is what Peter did, to embrace humility and, as Paul calls us to praise God at all times. We must be careful not to fall into either side of the temptation, to mistake either the right or the left as the Christian response in total. The Christian response, rather, we can even think of it as the tip of the spear, if you will, is to praise God and follow him no matter what the circumstance. No matter what we think would be better, no matter what we think should be the case. If we praise God first, and we are humble, then God can do something that we cannot do on our own. Me as a person, and us as a society, as a nation, as a country. If we embrace repentance and humility, and we kneel at Christ's feet, something great can change. The humble one serves and praises God in all circumstances, and as St. Paul says, in honor or dishonor, in ill repute or in good repute. For the humble one, we can say, is dead to the world and is alive to God alone. That is what Peter entered into when he was called by Christ here and followed him for the rest of his days. Yes, he fell and he stumbled. We know the stories. But he followed God nonetheless. Nothing else matters for the Christian but the glory of God and following God in his glory. Then everyone sitting here can experience what Peter did, kneeling at Christ's feet, knowing himself to be an unworthy servant, and yet in humility accepting what God gives. He was transformed and became capable of becoming a participant with Christ to draw all kinds of people into the net that Christ was casting out. He worked to unite them with the church, the ark of salvation, and pulled them into that experience of Jesus Christ, the Lord and God. This is what our God desires for each and every one of us. We're his beloved creatures. This is the path that he outlines for us. A path of a call, an obedience, a response in humility, and a walking in trust. Nothing else will bring us close to him. Everything else might be necessary for our worldly life. We might have wiser ways of doing things. But if we don't start with this, we'll never get to that other part. If we think only with the social solution and not give praise to God in every circumstance and trust him to work, we won't get there. We won't get there as Christians at the very least. So let us pray for ourselves that we can begin to see and model ourselves after Peter's response. That in no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in, whether honor or dishonor, good repute or ill repute, we give praise to God. We honor him and we strive to follow him no matter what. May God grant us that strength. May we have the intercessions of St. Peter, who knelt at Christ's feet and knew himself to be the unworthy servant. May he help us as well. Amen.